Each of the members has a package with the agenda and the minutes from the previous, the minutes of the previous meeting. First item is the approval of the agenda. And if there's no changes, just need a motion to approve.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. And that brings to item three, the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. And you should have had a chance to review these. Susan sent them out last week. And if there's no changes to these minutes, then we just need an approval, a motion to approve them.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item four is our wildlife management update from Bob Bryant.
It's probably, everyone's aware, we took a significant wildlife strike about 2 months ago, I guess it was. 35 seagulls were hit by a corporate jet. Since then, I have increased the number of runway airfield inspections, targeting primarily birds. We just recently made a huge order in some of our wildlife hazard management supplies, noise crackers, things such as that. The permits are still in place to be able to deal effectively with birds and or deer. And we'll continue to monitor that. I will say that in my professional career as an airport manager, that's the largest by far bird strike I've ever experienced. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on things, do what we can do, spend a little more time outside on the runways and the airfield looking for this type of activity. And, you know, that's pretty much what's, you know, the wildlife management, you know, update. So, you know, again, I'll increase the frequency of airfield inspections, and we'll see what we can do to make sure that something like that doesn't happen again. So, okay. That's it on
any
that.
Any questions for Bob? Wildlife management. Hearing none, we'll go to item five, which is the airport update.
Okay, we got a couple of things going on. One of those is the status of the new GA apron. It's obviously a project that's pretty important to us. Increases or allows us new parking for any combination of three corporate jets up to 13 single engine aircraft. The project is behind schedule by approximately 2.5, maybe 3 weeks. The problems that the contractor was having was with suppliers, particularly with crushed concrete that meets FAA design standards. The first of two layers, it was the first layer that the local supplier was having difficulty getting in a timely fashion, and that postponed the project for a while. And there were some weather-related issues. What remains is Thursday, they're gonna seal coat the areas where the tie downs will be installed. They wanna follow up with temporary markings the following week. Then Wings and Wheels happens that weekend, 2 weekends from now. The problem is the tie downs aren't going to be installed by then. The ramp will be open for aircraft to park, but there's not going to be any tie down places available. Once Wings and Wheels is over, we'll close the new GA apron again and finish the project by installing the tie down or the tie downs. So it's a project that's important to us. You know, we were all hoping that this project was going to be completed by the end of September. Obviously, that's not going to be the case, but, you know, we're probably about 3 or 4 weeks away from the project finally being done, opening that up and putting it to use. Any questions?
Bob, not to skip ahead to item six, but do we know if Wings and Wheels had any planned use for the apron area? As if to say they had planned for it to be a finished area for them to use?
Yep, we were planning on being able, well, that particular ramp was gonna be ideal for
transient aircraft.
Transient aircraft that were coming here for the show. Not necessarily show aircraft, but anybody in the region who would have flown their personal airplane in to come and see the show. Now, we can still park those airplanes on that ramp. That's not going to be a problem. We just don't have the means of being able to tie down aircraft. And right now, we've got, I think I had heard, 9 airplanes in this tie down area right here that would have gone onto that ramp. Well, now we don't have anywhere to put these airplanes. So we're looking at alternatives of being able to use the grass area, but we have to figure out some type of secured tie down, and there are some liability issues associated with that also. So, and I know we have a Wings and Wheels update here. If we can't find a place to relocate those airplanes for 3 days, there's going to be a mixture of airplanes, antique cars, and the general public walking on that ramp over there where all those airplanes are tied down right now. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Can we install temporary tie downs in the grass area? Is that possible?
We're looking at an idea of creating some type of a temporary anchor. The problem with that is a lot of these people over here pay to have their aircraft tied down using an anchor that interestingly does meet FAA design standards. And believe it or not, there is a design standard for a tie down. The problem is we can't create that between now and 2 weekends from now in the grass area. And we're looking at some possible other alternatives.
There's all kinds of standard kits out. Keep one in my hangar for when I go to air shows and stuff. And I bet a lot of those guys probably already have it.
Possibly. Yeah.
I pay for a hangar, but I still have the kit when I go to shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that's the latest on the GA apron expansion project. Much needed project. It's progressing. But not fast enough. The airport master plan update. This is a project that was started 3 years ago. It was impacted to some degree by COVID and the work at home order imposed upon FAA employees who are in the process of reviewing this airport master plan. We have reached the facility requirements stage of the master plan. We've already identified what we need. Now the master plan is putting those facility requirements into place and is submitting that to review to the Federal Aviation Administration. Of course, a big component of the master plan is the runway extension to runway 422. And in the latest response from the FAA, we were hit pretty hard trying to justify the runway extension while not meeting or exceeding the FAA's criteria that would make the runway extension an AIP eligible project. There are 4 advisory circulars that if a runway rehabilitation extension is to be funded by the FAA's Airport Improvement Program, you have to design and you have to meet the criteria of these 4 advisory circulars. And just to give you a quick idea, the Airport Design Advisory Circular is one of those that determines the width of the runway, the critical aircraft and regular use designation or determination advisory circular determines what is the most critical aircraft or the critical aircraft that most frequently uses this airport, which is also a component of determining runway length. The third advisory circular is airport pavement design evaluation. And then the 4th is, where are we? is the runway length requirement for airport design. The problem that we have is the resource that the Federal Aviation Administration uses to determine the stage length, how far the most critical aircraft that operates out of this airport extends to, is only about 500 miles from here. That's 50% of the critical aircraft that operate out of this airport fly no further than 500 miles from this airport. We have to record aircraft that fly almost to 90% of their payload capacity. And the problem is that averages out to about 1,500 miles from Georgetown. And we don't have many large aircraft that fly more than 1,500 miles from this airport. So we're working with our airport consulting company on trying to figure out how we can tweak these numbers and make us eligible to be able to use the AIP program to fund the extension of this project or this project. We're also looking at the possibility of having the project a congressional interest project, where there'll be some line item tucked into some federal bill that's going to pay for the cost of the project. We've had meetings with the FAA, Tom Carper's office, and the FAA is standing fast on compliance to these advisory circulars and other federal orders. And until we can show that we exceed these magic numbers, the project's always going to be in the airport master plan. It's just whether or not it's going to be AIP eligible. So it's complicated to explain, but the master plan is moving forward. The runway extension will be in it. We're even looking at a rehabilitation of the existing runway. But we're still probably about a year away from FAA approval of the master plan. So that's where we are right now. I know that this committee has often reviewed each step of the master plan. You'll get a chance to review the requirements section of the master plan once we answer these questions that were presented to us by the Federal Aviation Administration. A lot of talk about something that's not necessarily stalled but isn't moving as quickly as we wanted. I mean,
that's the facility requirement.
The facilities requirement, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they wrote us up a laundry list of things that the FAA wants us to address or readdress. So, moving on, turf runway discussion. We are in receipt of Brian White's email, his letter requesting that we look at considering turf airfield operations in the safety area of runway 422. That process is moving forward. We have contacted the Federal Aviation Administration, specifically the Airport District Office. A lot of this is supposed to be coordinated through the Flight Standards District Office. It is the ADO that approves our airport layout plan and is also who we are working with in trying to justify the runway extension to runway 422 and also maintaining the existing 150-foot width of the existing runway. To be honest, a turf use of the safety area of that runway is not a high priority right now as we are trying to get this master plan completed. We're also talking with the insurance company. They're asking questions about opening up either a designated turf runway or allowing turf operations in the safety area. And there's some concerns there that the insurance company has. And, beyond that, the process is moving forward. We will consult with the airport district office, and, we'll see what the response is. So,
have you discussed it with our consultant on the
Yes, and they've just given us back the basic information that you find in the advisory circular and the instruction on coordinating with FISDO.
They don't see any issues, is what I'm getting at. Other than
they don't see any issues, Rick, with the way that the advisory circular is written. Now, whether or not we're going to be capable of being able to meet certain standards for permitting operations in the safety area of a runway, that's stuff that the FISDO works out with the airport. I mean, we'll go ahead and show them where it is. But there are some concerns about nav aids, signs, hold positions on some of the taxiways.
Bob, I think one of the challenges is that FAA's even coming back and questioning our compliance, within our runway safety areas and so forth.
Right, right.
Today,
yeah, that was what.
Standing adding, turf operations within a designated runway safety area. So there's some risk to that. Rick, one of the things we're talking about with our consultant doing their master plan is attempting to at least integrate that in some way into the final master plan.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a recommendation,
right.
Yes or no, but just maybe a discussion.
It needs to be shown
where it could possibly be, what some of the risks are with it, some of the positives and negatives from an airport operations standpoint. Ultimately, if it does get approved in some fashion, it'll have to show up on our ALP drawings. So we don't know whether we're going to be there next June or July or August, whenever we're done with the master plan, but that's the direction we're going.
Yeah, we were hit pretty hard. We were hit pretty hard in this last FAA review of the master plan. Interestingly, they want us to begin, once the plan is approved, they want us to begin to look at non-compliant issues in the safety areas and apply our future AIP monies toward rectifying those non-compliant issues before we begin to apply some of this money to pavement. And safety areas, as Mark had just mentioned, was one of the hit areas. So, we'll talk with that with the ADO. We'll talk about that with the Flight Standards District Office. But there's other concerns that need to be addressed first before we can just go ahead and allow operations in the safety areas. So, it's moving forward. It may not be moving forward at the pace that most everybody else wants. But, there is a process, like everything in the FAA, that has to be followed, so.
That's an example of something that the FAA has pointed out that they're currently concerned about in the runway safety area, which, like, just one example.
Please clarify statements within this section, meaning the runway safety area, and future sections that state they appear to be within FAA standards. The facility either meets or does not meet the standards. Please revise that section of the airport safety area. So what happened was a visual observation of the runway safety areas. And for our runway 422, the safety areas are 250 feet out from the center line. So, of course, the runway's 150 feet wide. So you've got 75 feet of pavement. You've got another, 75 feet of safety area. And all that has to be properly graded, properly sloped to match the same slope as the crown of the runway out to a certain distance. they want confirmation, written confirmation that all the, and then you have the safety area that goes at the beyond the end of the runway also. Properly drained, the FAA does not want just a casual statement that the safety areas appear to meet standards. They want the consultant out there taking surveys, making sure that the safety areas do indeed meet FAA design standards. And we do have some sloping safety areas. It's all supposed to be smooth. So
that's really what happened, Garrett, is they sort of challenged us to get more specific.
Yeah.
None of this may or may not, or it looks like it may be.
Yeah.
They want us to be sure it either meets it or doesn't.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, what's the list of things that need to be corrected? So we don't really have that answer yet, but we need to get that specific answer, as Bob pointed out.
It just sounds like nitpicking, really.
Well, I mean, it's...
But they have their criteria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of their checklist they go through, so yeah. You know, we have to follow it.
That's the latest on the turf runway discussion.
Any questions from the committee for Bob on that item, or on any of the items under the airport update? And members of the public, you'll have an opportunity to speak at the end of the in item 7. Okay. Next item is Wings and Wheels update, and Larry's not here, but I think Linda's back there. You want to get us straight from that?
Hi, everybody. We are getting very close, as you all know, and definitely have had some challenges this year with logistics and a lot of stuff that's going on, but we think that we have pretty much countered most of or dealt with most of what's out there for us with spacing. The tie downs, of course, is the other issue that we have, especially from the car show's perspective. We do have our final logistics meeting next week to kind of go over walking the airport and going over some things. We do have the C-130 and the Black Hawk helicopter coming back, so the C-130 is going to be here on Friday. And we have a DC-3 coming on Saturday, which is, we're allowing for space for that as well. Definitely the construction and placement of vendors has been a little tricky, and thanks to Scott Thomas, we've walked the airport and the parking lot many, many times and have switched that plan, I don't know how many times, although Scott doesn't know, we've got four vendors that have just requested to be here today. So I'm trying to figure out a space for that. But we brought back our Pathways to Aviation program on Friday morning, and we're getting a lot of good feedback from the schools, and we've got a lot of good vendors that we're going to put the kids in front of for the first time. Our Friday event is back as well, so we have a dinner show with Mission Barbecue and cocktails for free. So tickets are available. We're trying to sell our tickets. So if anybody wants tickets or knows of anybody, let me know. Let Rick know. Let Scott know. But we're going to have a really good evening. And then, of course, event day is. We think that we've pretty much accounted for some of the issues that we had last year. Well, we know we have. So I think that we're going to put on a great show, and hopefully the weather will cooperate. Right now it's not looking that way, but I've been told for years to stop looking at the weather this early. But can't help it. But we're doing the best we can, and we're going to put on a great show, and we're moving and doing all the things that we can do to bring a great event to the community. So we're really excited.
What you have the next meeting.
Good. Thanks, Linda. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Linda from the committee? All right. So the next item is the public comments meeting. I know, Brian, you had something you wanted to say. So is it 3 minutes that the public? Are we going to hold them to that? No? All right. Well, Brian, go ahead. You got the floor.
Yeah, I was just going to say that in brief, it's probably more appropriate to refer to this turf operations as opposed to a turf run. Turf runway is a separate, discrete runway, and there's all sorts of issues associated with that because it could have to be shown on plans and so forth. A lot of places that offer turf operations adjacent to the existing runway don't even mention it in the charts up. Those that do, it's usually just a brief comment about how the turf operations work.
Okay. Any other members of the public that want to speak up? Okay, then we can set our next meeting date, the fourth quarter meeting, which we can either do the first or second week of December. So it'll be after Thanksgiving, obviously, before Christmas. Does anybody have a preference on December 7th or 14th? Does anybody feel?
7th for me would be better.
All right, well, we're going to work around Scott's schedule, yeah, everybody.
Well, don't let that stop anybody.
Second.
Well, that's
okay.
Pearl Harbor Day.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it?
That's Pearl Harbor Day. And Delaware
that's
Day.
That's Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of
Delaware.
Okay.
That's probably
all
Delaware
right.
Day.
Thank you for thank you for pointing that out. So we'll Delaware go with December 14th.
Yeah.
And that'll be our next meeting date. So we just need a motion to adjourn.
Say it again. What date?
December 14th.
14th. Okay.
Right. And it'll be here in the hangar again because we're still.
Thank you.
We're going to keep running out of the hangar until the EOC building's done. And just need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.